rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have a roll call, please?
Governor Rauner, Secretary Blankenhorn, Director Brent Banks,
here.
Director Brooks,
here.
Director Dotson, Director Gomez,
here.
Director Gonzalez,
here.
Director Johnson,
here.
Director Sauer,
here.
Director Sweeney,
here.
Chairman Schillerstrom,
here.
Chair Blankenhorn.
Very well. We will proceed to the chairman's part of the agenda. And I would ask leave of the board to move directly to item number 6 under my report, which is a statement of support for our Guard and Reserve employees. Hearing no objection to that, we will proceed to that agenda item. Today, we are joined by representatives of the Illinois Committee of Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve to sign a statement of support. I'd like to welcome Michael Hollop, who is the State Vice Chair and Public Affairs Director. Would also like to welcome Ed Latournay, a military outreach volunteer, and Mr. Kendall Marks of the U.S. Army Reserve. By signing this statement of support, we are reaffirming the Tollway's commitment to supporting employees who are veterans or currently serving in our nation's military. As we begin, Mike would like to say a few words. Mike?
Behind you, sir.
Behind me. Okay.
Where is he?
Good morning, everyone. I'm honored to be here today. It wasn't all that long ago that I was in this very same room with members of District 15 as we presented two Patriot Awards to members of the Investigations Unit. And at that time, we had Colonel Zerbonia, now Brigadier General Zerbonia, joining us as well. So I'm honored to be back here again because the state of Illinois continues to do the right things with regard to the members of the Guard and Reserve. And ESGR is four letters that a lot of people don't really know a lot about, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. And by that I mean we usually pay a visit to those employers who are not doing it well. The Tollway Authority and the state of Illinois in general is doing it very well. And by doing the statement of support today, this is one more step in furtherance of how well you do those things. And I know you have all your veterans here. Thank you all for your service today. Thank you for being here. I myself am an Army veteran. We'll get into some dangerous territory when we talk about branches, though, don't we? But the importance of the Guard and Reserve, I'm a Vietnam-era veteran, and the operational component of that era was about 11% Guard and Reserve. Today, it's well over 50% Guard and Reserve. You have members of the reserve components and the Guard who are in second and third deployments. That kind of thing didn't exist in the time when I was in service in Vietnam. So it's much more important, and it also puts a little bit of burden on the employer. That's why it's so important. When I talk about the Guard and Reserve, I usually use the reference of a three-legged stool. The three legs being the service member themselves, who raised their hand and decided to serve the country, the family who supports that service member, and then, of course, the employer. And if one of those legs were missing, the stool would topple over. So this statement of support is highly symbolic of that three-legged stool and the total support. So we're very honored today to be here with Ed and Ken, my partners over there, to sign a statement of support. So at this time, I'd like to request the director join me at the table for signing the statement of support. It's also signed by our national chair, retired General Paul Mock, and Secretary of Defense Ash Carter. So, Mr. Chairman.
Well, thank you, Mike. And if you don't mind, I'd also like to invite our executive director and our directors to join us here at the table. They brought in some pens. Very good. We appreciate that.
We did not mean that.
Yes.
We all ready?
All right.
Whether providing service to tollway customers on the road or working behind the scenes, these men and women bring the qualities of their military experiences to their tollway jobs. Leadership, teamwork, dependability, integrity, and honor. That's why it's important for the tollway to sign this statement of support. Employers signing this statement of support pledge that we fully recognize, honor, and comply with the Uniformed Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act. We will provide our managers and supervisors with the tools needed to effectively manage these employees who serve in the Guard and the Reserve. We appreciate the values, leadership, unique skills that these members bring to the workforce, and will encourage opportunities to hire guardsmen, reservists, and veterans. We will continually recognize and support our country's service members and their families in peace, in crisis, and in war. By signing this statement of support, we are joining thousands of employers across the United States. Now that we have signed the statement, I'd like to recognize the tollway employees here with us today. We are joined by about half of the 108 tollway employees who have previously served in the military or are currently serving in the Reserves and National Guard. Thank you to our tollway employees who serve or have served in the United States Armed Forces. We are extremely proud of you and appreciate the sacrifices you make to defend our freedoms. Please stand and be recognized. Now, before we end, Mike would like to say a few more words.
And with your permission, I'll do that from here, sir. In the military, many of you guys know this. Many of the other people may not know what a challenge coin is. Years ago, back in the war days, coins were used to identify like members from similar units. And it could be that you would say, hey, I'm in your unit, but there's no way for me to really know that unless you could produce a challenge coin from the same unit. Today, that tradition is kind of transposed into a symbol of excellence or a symbol of recognition. And Illinois ESGR has a challenge coin which features the Secretary of Defense logo on one side and the Illinois flag on the other side. So, sir, I'd like to present you with a challenge coin. And it's done by through a handshake where we pass the challenge coin this way. So,
could you guys congratulations this way?
On behalf of ESGR.
Well, on behalf of the tollway, thank you very much. Thank you for being here today. We are honored that you would come. We're honored that we have so many members of the military that work here at the tollway. We appreciate the service that you have given our country, and we appreciate your dedication and the hard work that you give to the tollway. So, thank you very much.
There is one other tradition that goes with the challenge coin, by the way. If you were to be in an establishment where they might be serving adult beverages or something, someone may say, I challenge you, and if you didn't have your coin, then you would buy. But if you did have your coin, I get caught. So
I'm prepared to buy.
Be prepared.
Well, thank you again.
You're
really
welcome.
Appreciate it.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
We'd
like to
get
one more set photo.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, we got one more set photo. Shaking hands.
Thank you. And directors, can I get you guys to come forward just one step?
Just good, like this?
You want Mike and I up? Or?
Oh, you guys can sit down if you don't mind.
Here we go, guys. One, two, three. Let me get one more. Here we go. One, two, three. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So anyone who wants to stay through the meeting, you are welcome to. But if you think it's going to be a little dry for you, also feel free to leave at this point. If Chairman's report.
And the first item is approval of the minutes of the board meeting held on July 23rd, 2015. I believe that everybody has received a copy of those. May we have a motion to approve that?
Motion approved.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion, questions, or alterations regarding the minutes? If not, all those in favor of approving the minutes, state aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are approved. We also have executive session minutes to approve, but we will defer that to executive session. And we will now move to the committee reports, and I would ask Director Gomez if he would like to I've been told I forgot public comment. It's a bad thing to forget. So we will go back to public comment, and our rules are that anyone who would like to speak at the meeting, we will allow them to do it. This is the time to do it. We will not allow you to comment or to ask questions on individual agenda items, and we would ask you to keep your comments to about 3 minutes, so try and be as concise as possible. We have these public comment cards that are right over there on the desk by Mr. Ronsky. If somebody who has not signed it would like to speak, we'd ask you just to fill out a card, and we can bring it, you can give that to Mr. Rozak, and we will allow you to speak. So we have a few of these filled out, and I'm going to start. The first person who would like to speak is Mr. Michael Stevens, and he would like to talk about the Route 53-120 extension. Mr. Stevens, if you would proceed to the microphone there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. My name is Michael Stevens. I'm the President and CEO of Lake County Partnership for Economic Development, and I appreciate the opportunity to provide public comment to you today. Lake County Partners is the premier economic development not-for-profit corporation in Lake County. We're supported by both business and community leaders, and we have a board of approximately 27 individuals representing both communities and businesses. The Lake County Partners Board supports the Route 53-120 project. They recognize it's critical to the continued economic development success of Lake County, especially as we experience increased competition from Southeast Wisconsin. They also recognize it provides significant congestion reduction. Recently, Lake County Partners staff took an initial look at the potential economic benefits of the Route 53-120 project. Using the in-plan economic modeling tool, and the results are very encouraging. The road construction alone will have an economic impact ranging from $3.2 to $3.7 billion. The projected commercial and residential development at build-out will have an economic impact ranging from $19 billion to $19.7 billion. So by taking both the road construction and the commercial and residential development, there will be an investment of $14.5 to $15.3 billion. That will result in an economic impact of $22.2 billion to $23.5 billion. Additionally, we anticipate the commercial development will result in anywhere between 25,000 to 30,000 new jobs at full build-out. Once again, Chairman, I'd like to thank you again for the opportunity to provide the public comment. At your seats are a copy of the letter I emailed out to you all a couple days ago. If you have any questions, please feel free to let me know. And I also want to congratulate the board on selecting your new executive director, Mr. Bedloff, a colleague of mine in the economic development world, is an excellent choice. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens. Next is Susan Zingel, and Susan would like to speak in opposition to Route 53. Ms. Zingel.
How did you get? Actually, I didn't come here today to speak about 53, although I do oppose it. My name is Susan Zingel. I'm a resident of Wadsworth in Northeast Illinois, and I'm a member of a group called Livable Lake County, a group dedicated to preserving the quality of life, livability, and natural resources of Lake County. and we do oppose the extension of 53. And thank you for letting me speak today. Oddly enough, I am speaking in public comment about the use of public comment. It was designed for individual folk like me who have an interest in something involving the tollway, but no good way to communicate it. It is very much appreciated by those of us who utilize it. But unfortunately, sometimes public comment is used to avoid rather than to inform. I do review the agendas of upcoming tollway committee and board meetings to see if there is something of immediate concern where I might want to attend and hear the discussion firsthand. And that's not a small decision. It was an hour and a half down here this morning. So imagine my surprise last month when I opened the newspaper the morning after the board meeting to see that Sid Mathias spoke in public comment about 40 mayoral letters supporting the extension of Route 53 into Lake County. I object. Using public comment to allow an elected official to announce a development on a controversial project like Route 53 very neatly circumvents the agenda process with the attendant public notice requirements that allow everyone the ability to be aware of topics under discussion and to fully participate in the meeting. It flies in the face of the purpose of the Open Meetings Act. It's an insult to everyone following the issue. You'd almost think he was afraid there might be opposition if people knew he was coming. Now, Sid Mathias is a former Illinois state representative and a current Lake County board member. He, like Aaron Lawler, has a ready line of communication, either directly to you, Mr. Schillerstrom, or through Nick Sauer, a line of communication that my colleagues and I do not enjoy. I am sure that the board would like to maintain a collegial relationship with all elected officials, and so when he suggests perhaps that he's going to stop by, you welcome him. Perhaps the next time you can welcome him with an informational agenda item so we can all be aware and give the announcement the focus and attention it deserves. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Zingel. Next is Robert Bob Israel, and he would like to discuss black contractors. Mr. Israel.
How you doing? Good morning. I almost forgot public comment. I was like, what happened? But anyway, I want to thank Gustavo for coming to have breakfast with me one day last week before this meeting when you guys asked him to reach out to me. And he gave me some information about diversity overview. And it says construction contracts of the $1.8 billion the tollway paid on construction contracts, $300 million plus or 18% went to DMWBM businesses. That sounds good, but luckily it's broke down to African-American-owned companies. And it says only $16 million. I don't know if that sounds good to y'all, but only $16 million with African-American construction-owned companies. So that's like, I'm a mathematician, $2 billion, that's $2,000 million. So, I mean, I'm just going to keep coming here until we can get somebody to understand that we need some help in the first district. I know you just awarded a contract last year, last week, last month to some firms that's going to help do some building in District 2 and 3, and you gave them $1 million sub. But like I heard South Chicago Heights mayor say, hopefully when y'all redo District 1, out of that $900 million y'all got in reserve, hopefully we can up the ante, hopefully. So I'm not just going to be here just trying to beat y'all down, but I'm just trying to think if somebody could just help the African-American community with their building capacity. And we have a few issues in construction, I know this, but $16 million out of $2.7 billion over 5 years, I don't know how y'all feel about that, but my community is kind of hemorrhaging, and it don't sound good to me. And the board, I've been coming here for 3 years, seems like the board has been shook up. I did support Rana. I've been drilled through the mud about that. When I go back to my community, all the wins and commissioners are already teasing me, even radio personalities, folks, but I don't have no problem with it, because he's shaking up Springfield, and I hope that this board gets shook up, where we can get some more participation with African-American contractors and black contractors. So that's all I would like to say.
Thank you, Mr. Israel. You appreciate it. Next is Mr. Barry Burton, and he would also like to speak on Route 53.
Mr. Chairman, Barry Burton, I'll pass. I was just here to see if there was any comments that needed other information.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Burton.
And next is Mr. Don Hamburger, and he would like to discuss transponders for maintenance. Sir?
Due to this gig, been with the tollway for 26 years, and I've never paid a toll since I've been here until now. I have to come to work. All my maintenance guys have to pay a toll, and I don't think it's right. But if you would consider maybe in the winter time giving us credit to come to work, it would be good. I don't want to tie up your day, so thank you.
Thank you. All right, that is all the cards that I received. If there's anyone else that would like to speak to us now, now is the time to stand up or at least hold your peace until the next meeting. So, anybody else wish to speak? Very good. I thank the speakers, and that concludes our public comment. Now we will proceed to committee reports, and I would ask Director Gomez if he has any report that he would like to present, other than the items that are on the agenda. Director?
I think that we have no other items to present. Am I going to do the presentation, or are you?
I'll do the presentation. All right, then we will proceed to the next item, which is an item amending the resolution, the prior resolution which we passed at the last meeting, assigning directors to particular committees, and we would like to amend that resolution by assigning Director Brooks as a member of the Finance, Administration, and Operations Committee. May we have a motion to do that?
Move approval. Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion regarding this amendment to our motion? Hearing nothing, all those in favor, state aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All righty, the prior resolution is amended, and Director Brooks, you are now a member of the Finance, Administration, and Operations Committee.
Thank you.
We appreciate your work on that committee. Last week, there was an incident in a work zone on the Jane Addams Memorial Tollway, I-90, at around 4 a.m. A vehicle that was burst into flames, and the driver was knocked unconscious. Fortunately, two tollway maintenance workers, Mr. Noel Rodriguez and Mr. Ryan Zaire, and an Illinois State Police District Trooper, Trooper Trillett, were among those on hand to come to the rescue of this driver. And I believe that Mr. Rodriguez and Trooper Trillett are with us today. Can you please stand? Thank you. To recognize these men for their heroism and bravery, we have a resolution I'd like to introduce into the record, and if you would bear with me, I would like to read it. Whereas Noel Rodriguez has served with the Illinois State Toll Highway Authority since July 2009, starting as a custodian at the Park Ridge Maintenance Site and earning promotions to equipment operator at the Downers Grove Maintenance Site in January 2012, and to maintenance section supervisor at the Naperville maintenance site in March 2013. He has been assigned to the Marengo maintenance site since February of 2014. And whereas Ryan Zerier has served with the Illinois State Toll Highway Authority as an equipment operator laborer since August 2012, starting at the Gurnee maintenance site and transferring to the Marengo maintenance site in March of 2014. And whereas Trooper Arthur Trillett has served as a trooper for Illinois State Police District 15 since May 2015. And whereas in the early hours of Friday, August 21, Mr. Rodriguez, Mr. Zaire, and Trooper Trillett were performing their duties as part of lane closures for bridge work on the Jane Addams Memorial Tollway at Anthony Road near Hampshire.
whereas a tollway customer's vehicle caught fire due to an incident on the eastbound side of I-90 in the vicinity of the work zone, and whereas Mr. Rodriguez demonstrated quick thinking and resourcefulness by using his maintenance truck to stop the vehicle that was on fire from rolling into other vehicles. And whereas Mr. Rodriguez, Mr. Zaire, and Trooper Trillett, with assistance from a Good Samaritan, broke into the burning vehicle and pulled out the customer who was unconscious inside the burning vehicle. And whereas Mr. Zaire and Trooper Trillett, risking injury to themselves, extinguished the fire that had engulfed the customer's vehicle. And whereas Mr. Rodriguez, although suffering minor burns and cuts, continued to perform his duties in making sure everybody on the scene was safe from further injury after the tollway customer was rescued from the burning vehicle. And whereas the dedication and efforts of these individuals enables the tollway to continue providing the people of the state of Illinois and the motoring public with a safe, modern, and efficient toll highway system. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Illinois State Toll Highway Authority as follows. That as a sign of respect, thanks, and esteem, the members of the Board of Directors of the Illinois State Toll Highway Authority, on behalf of all tollway employees, express their gratitude and admiration to Noel Rodriguez, Ryan Zaire, and Arthur Trillett for their bravery, their dedication to duty, and their selfless service to tollway customers by presenting them with a copy of this resolution, and that this resolution be placed on record in the minutes of the Illinois State Toll Highway Authority. May we have a motion in support of that?
So moved.
Second.
All righty, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing nothing, all those in favor of that resolution, please state aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The resolution carries. We thank you very much. Dealt with agenda item number 6, so that concludes my portion of the agenda. At this point, I would turn it over to Mr. Bedloff for his portion.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Several items for review this morning, beginning with an organizational announcement. I'm pleased to announce that on Friday, August 21st, David Wilson accepted the position of Chief of Operations for the Tollway. David began his career with the Tollway in 1989 in the carpenter shop. After completing law school, he joined the Tollway's legal department in 1991, became Assistant Attorney General in 1994. Most recently, he served with Chief Legal Counsel David Goldberg as Senior Assistant Attorney General. Many thanks to David for his support of our decision to move David into the position as Chief of Operations. Many thanks to David for accepting the position. His extensive knowledge of Tollway functions will be an asset to our agency as we move forward. David is joining us. For those of you who have not met David, perhaps take an opportunity after the meeting to introduce yourself. Welcome and thank you, David.
Thank you.
Secondly, the Tollway is proud to announce that we are inviting high school students, art students particularly, to participate in our 2016 Tollway Map Cover Art Contest. This year's contest theme, Save the Monarchs, was inspired by the Tollway's efforts to work in partnership with the Natural Resources Defense Council and other state agencies to enhance and restore monarch butterfly habitats throughout northern Illinois. More than 300 high school students in the 12 counties served by the Tollway have been sent information about this year's contest. The art contest top 10 entries will be displayed at the Tollway 6 Oasises and on the Tollway's website in October for a public vote to select the four finalists. We will invite you board members along with contest partners Blick Art Materials and MB Real Estate to select the grand prize winner and three runners-up, which will be selected in November. And additionally, if I could turn your attention to the screen, I'd like to provide you with a quick tollway traffic update. We saw a traffic rebound, which started in 2010 and really had a significant uptick in late 2013. And the real good news is that toll transactions are up 4.9% current year versus the same time period for 2014. We are having our busiest summer travel season on record here at the Tollway. And in July, we recorded our 10 busiest travel days in the agency's history. In July, we had 2.97 million transactions in a single day. We had hoped to break the 3 million barrier, but it doesn't look like we're going to hit that quite yet. We need to get Elgin O'Hare open, and hopefully we'll crash through the 3 million barrier mark. Additionally, this is a graph that shows the weekday transaction growth. And again, this is transactions. This is not revenue. So you can see our transactions over a four-year period. While they follow the same general pattern, you'll note that 2015 has seen a significant growth in transactions. There's the day, Friday, July 24th, 2.9 million transactions. And you'll note that the 10 busiest days in tollway history have all been recorded between May and July of 2015. So why this continued growth? Mike Stevens isn't with us anymore, but good sound economic development and continued economic expansion. We've seen some recovering regional employment numbers, naturally lower fuel prices help the motoring public, and I believe most importantly, we provide a great value for our customers who make because of the investments that we've made in our system over the years. So continuing on, here's a revenue slide that shows what we're doing from a revenue standpoint, 2015 versus 2014. And again, you'll see some significant growth there. August is typically our highest volume of transactions. We see our traffic engineers and staff are telling us that we're going to see continued growth for 2016. So that's additional good news. And, of course, the standard tollway travel tips for those of you traveling. Labor Day weekend coming up. Best time to start your weekend trip. If you don't have a job, I guess, and you're able to get away Thursday before 1 p.m., you're going to find our roads are the least congested during that time. Friday between 10 and 11 or after 7 p.m. You can always sign up for tollway trip tweets. Try saying that three times real fast. You can view real-time tollway road cam reviews on our website, or you can go online and check out travel times at www.travelmidwest.com. So generally, from a traffic revenue transaction standpoint, very, very positive news.
Mr. Bedloff?
Yes, sir.
Just curiosity question. I'm sorry to ask you. How come between 10 and 11 a.m. on Friday, I can see it to 7, I can see it before 3.
Jonathan Hart, CDM Smith, is here somewhere. You can answer that question for us, our traffic engineer.
I was hoping you wouldn't see me back.
Just curious, I mean, just popped out at me. Why would 10 to 11 on Friday?
I would need to look at the data.
Okay, you know, that's fine.
No, it's never struck me that there is that's a particularly peak time, but it's an interesting question. I'd be happy to look into it and get back to you.
Okay, I don't mean to...
No, that's fine.
Not
a great question. We'll be happy to
give you
the
information. Not at all, unfortunately. Okay.
It's just after the rush hour.
After the Friday rush hour. But we'll get you a...
We'll have to...
Okay, sorry.
It's okay. We do have a couple of other presentations. I'd like to introduce Paul Kovacs, Chief of Engineering, who is going to give us an update on managing construction change, as well as how things are progressing on I-90. Paul.
Good morning, directors. I'm going to give you a condensed version of the three detailed presentations that I did to the FAO committee last week, but it will give you an overview of construction changes and how the engineering and the tollway department handles that. Give you an update on our status for our our big work effort that we have going on the 25-mile eastern segment of I-90, and then also touch upon our retainage policy, because we have a few of those items on the board today. And to begin with, I want to tell you that the tollway has a very robust process for managing change on construction contracts, and that's really critical to the delivery of our program. It keeps our projects on time and on budget. It provides clear direction to our contractors on the work that we want them to do. And it also starts the documentation process early and provides a very thorough documentation effort for every single change that occurs on a tollway construction project. Well, one thing I want to get across is that change isn't uncommon, especially in construction. It's a very dynamic operation. There are a wide variety of factors that lead to changes on construction contracts. Most of those changes are beyond the tollway's direct control. You know weather. I'd love to be able to control it, but it will have an impact on our operations if there's extremely wet weather, or harsh winter seasons can prevent operations from occurring. And a lot of underground things are discovered during the construction process that can't be adequately predicted ahead of time, at least not with the methods that we use today. We rely a lot on soil borings, but you cannot put enough soil borings in into the pavement or into the roadway area to predict every single anomaly that's occurring underground. What we do recognize is that it's very important for us to track and monitor all the changes that occur on our construction contracts, and we do provide information to the board on a monthly basis on the status of all the changes that have occurred over the past month. Because of this strong process that we have in place, we know the tollway does a great job of managing its construction changes. We know through the industry reports that typically construction changes average about 5 to 10% above the original construction amounts when the contracts are awarded. Since the tollway began delivering large capital programs in 2005, so this is the past 10 years, $7 billion worth of experience, we've been within only 0.4% of our original contract award amounts. So definitely is within our budget, and definitely indicates that the tollway is doing a very good job of monitoring its changes and addressing them proactively and effectively. So the board recognized right away back in 2005 that we were going to need a process in place that was going to be able to address construction changes quickly, evaluate and monitor them, and give direction on them, and we call that the C5 committee. It's the Contract Cost Change Controls Committee. It was authorized by the board. It does expedite the review and documentation of all the work that comes in related to changes. It meets regularly. Actually, it meets on an as-needed basis, sometimes as many as every single day of the week, especially while we're in the construction, high peak season for construction. It's comprised of three members in engineering. They all have construction and design experience. We also invite representatives from finance, our audit department, and also our procurement department. They can observe and monitor these meetings. C5 reviews every single change that comes in from the field. The changes are described in a document we call an authorization to proceed, which is prepared by our construction managers. And what C5 can do is they can reject it, they can ask for it to be revised and resubmitted, or they could recommend that it be approved. What C5 is basically doing is making sure that the change is well explained and that it's being handled in accordance with our contract requirements and specifications before they will allow it to move any further. Once the authorization to proceed is evaluated by C5, it goes to the proper signature authority for approval. For our board-approved policy, every single change that's above $200,000, the chief engineer presents to the tollway board for your consideration and approval. So I mentioned how change is common. Just since 2012, we had 4,546 authorizations to proceed, or changes coming in from the field. Just over 1% of these were presented to the board, meaning they were over $200,000 by themselves. And we did get approval. And just so you had perspective, 1,000 of those changes, 1,000 of the 4,500 were actually negative adjustments. So there are a lot of offsetting negative adjustments that also occur because we didn't perform as much work as was estimated in the original contract documents. The tollway has a very good reputation for managing change under the CRP. Just adds a little bit more. We processed 14,000 changes altogether. It helps us adjust to unknown field conditions. It's very important to keeping the jobs moving. I think we've used it in a lot of cases to keep our projects on budget and on schedule and respond to these changes so that we could avoid delays. There's nothing that's more costly to the tollway than the engineers and the contractor in the field running into an unforeseen condition and then having to wait until, you know, someone decides how we're going to handle it. It could be an underground obstruction that stands in the way of installing some storm sewer. Anytime we're idling the work in the field, it's costing the tollway money. We used it very effectively on a 37-mile interstate section that we opened up brand new on I-90 between Elgin and Cherry Valley Interchange near Rockford. We were faced with a lot of challenges due to weather, poor soils, permitting, and land acquisition delays. We recovered all that time through the change order process, and we did deliver that improvement on time and within budget. And I think it's a great example of how we put our customers first. We know that our customers, while they do appreciate having good roads to drive on and wider roads so that they have less traffic and less congestion on the system, they really like it when we actually get off the road and are done working on it. 90, we have a lot of work going on right now. We're rebuilding and widening the 25-mile eastern segment. We're going from 6 lanes to 8 lanes. This is no small endeavor. The project also includes construction activities at 28 bridges and 6 interchanges. I-90 runs through an urban region. It's very heavily traveled. 270,000 vehicles per day are driving on that section. So everyone at the tollway, and especially with engineering, recognized that I-90, the eastern portion, was going to be a big challenge. We also know we're raising the bar with I-90. This is going to be the first corridor where we're going to implement accommodations for transit. So we're widening out the inside lane. We're partnering with Pace. We're going to operate a bus on shoulder there. This is the first segment where we're going to be implementing an active traffic management system, that ITS system, or intelligent transportation system, that's going to allow us to communicate with our customers in real time on roadway conditions before they approach them. So with such extensive improvements that we have planned, and because this corridor is very unique, we are running into all the typical challenges plus some additional ones. But we are still committed to delivering those new lanes by the end of 2016. Some of the uniqueness of the corridor, or some of the reasons why we have some delays that we're trying to recover right now are, we do comply with every federal requirement that exists for performing roadway construction work. And because of that, that means you have to go and seek permits. Normally that process takes 12 months. On the I-90 corridor, it took 18 months. The I-90 corridor also has some unique utility challenges. We have a water main operated by the Northwest Suburban Municipal Joint Action Water Agency, it's called JAWA, that runs parallel to I-90 and actually sits within our right-of-way. We also have 2 NICOR gas mains, a 22 and a 36-inch, that run right adjacent to I-90, the eastern portion of the corridor. Both of these elements add an increased level of effort and attention, because these are high-pressure systems. These folks are also serving a big customer group. They have 500,000 people that are relying on this gas and water service. In addition, because one's water and one's gas, they both restrict when they want work to occur adjacent and around them. So the water folks, their peak period is during the summer. They don't want any work to occur during the good weather months. NICOR, they're providing heat to all these people's homes. They don't want any work to go on in all the other non-summer months. So because they're both there, we've had a very difficult time making sure that we could schedule in our necessary work and do the relocations that need to happen in a timely method. On top of that, you know, normally we always get faced with winter challenges. 2014-15, we had the harshest winter on record. It's prevented us from completing some of our advanced work on the bridges and the retaining walls. 2015 didn't start out great either. June was like the wettest month in history, so that really put a kink in some of our kickoff efforts of the 2015 season. But we are, we did meet those challenges head on. We are developing mitigation plans. We're doing so with the customer in mind. So by handling these changes in a timely and effective manner and maintaining our promises to deliver these improvements on time and within budget, I mean, I don't know of a better example of customer service than that. In addition, the way we're doing our work out there is we're keeping all the existing lanes open while we widen and reconstruct the system. And this is a major interstate. That's not an easy task. And doing it in 2 years, I don't think anyone else in the whole country is reconstructing and widening a 25-mile section of interstate to 8 lanes in 2 years. But we know that through our mitigation plans, we're going to be delivering this improvement in the most cost-effective and efficient manner that's possible. The items that we've covered on, or that we've added to the board agenda today for your consideration, all deal with addressing these mitigation plans on at least 7 of the I-90 contracts. There's a couple that we're still working on, which we don't expect to be to the same magnitude, but they're not ready to be presented to the board yet. They haven't been fully vetted by the engineers, the contractors, and all of our project management oversight. But the mitigation plans generally consist of rephasing some of the work so we can improve the contractor's productivity and efficiency, paying for extra work shifts or extra work crews or different materials or equipment, additional equipment that can be used, all to boost the contractor's productivity. We will consider extending the time to complete some of the work that's not related to the roadway itself. So landscaping and some of the work on the outside of the roadway, we will provide the contractors with an extension of time to complete that. And we're probably going to be considering paying for winter work moving forward if we determine that that's going to be necessary also. So these recovery plans have been developed specifically for each one of these I-90 contracts. They have been vetted and evaluated by our engineering staff, our contractors, our corridor construction managers, and the program management office. And, you know, another thing, critical aspect of this work that I'd like the board to understand is that the tollway is asking the contractors to do this for us. You know, the contractors didn't come to us and say, hey, we want to do this faster for you. You know, the tollway is the one who's driving this initiative, because we're the ones who recognize that if I just let the work go on for an extra 2 years and let them, you know, finish it, they would be entitled to those extensions. The tollway will end up spending more money for that because we'll expose ourselves to cost escalation for labor and materials in the future years. We're also going to be losing revenue. Every time we have construction on one of our parts of our system, people avoid it and we lose revenue. We're not going to be delivering the new lane when we said we would. That will also generate more revenue that will be lost by the tollway if we don't deliver it on time. There'll be engineering supplements for the construction managers who are overseeing the work and the designers. And one of the biggest things is it's going to be more years of inconvenience to our customers, which does come at a cost to them because they're going to spend more time in congestion out there while we're reconstructing it. It's not a cost borne by the tollway, but it's definitely a cost that we're hoping to avoid. All our project team members are devoted to getting this job done on time and within the budget that we've established. These are just some photos showing all the work that's going on out there. If you drive up and down this corridor, 25 miles, work going on both sides of the roadway, hundreds of pieces of equipment, hundreds of workers out there every day helping us deliver on our promise to get this widening reconstructed. In summary, we have a very robust process for handling change here at the tollway. On today's agenda, there is $60 million in change orders and extra work orders that we want to use to address schedule recovery efforts on I-90. these funds and what our request is for is represents only 1.9% of the overall construction work that we're doing this year. It is accounted for within our budget. We do have the funding for this. You know, construction changes are common. We really feel this is the best plan that we can provide to the tollway and the best recommendation that an engineer can make.
Are there any questions for Mr. Kovacs on change orders?
Mr. Chairman, I just want to congratulate Paul and his staff for all of that hard work and their extensive report that was provided at the Finance Committee meeting.